Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. James Howe producing the show for Drew. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 20 minutes right here on 96.5 The Fam. But let's get right back into Chiefs Colts. Also, just the rest of the way, what is at stake for the Chiefs? What's that path look like? Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joins us. He's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. And brought to you by Flight. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. I know you got players only tonight as well, right? 6 o'clock. We'll get to that in just a bit, Danon. But this spot that Kansas City's in right now, last week we had you on and we said, hey, it was maybe the biggest regular season game potentially for Mahomes, divisional aspirations and everything on the line. This is the game of the season, though, it feels like, on Sunday. I mean, to me, this is make or break.
Well, it seems like every game going forward, as long as we win, is the game of the season, because that's the position that we put ourselves in. Very unfamiliar territory to think about that in this circumstance. You're talking about week 12 of the season. We're not talking about kind of hybrid must wins because we want to stay in the hunt for the number one seed or have the AFC championship run through GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. We're talking about playoff implications, and like based on how the schedules of every team in the AFC that's equal or above us right now, I feel like we have to be at least 6-1, mm-hmm. maybe 5-2 could win us the last spot in the playoff race, depending on who those two losses are against and how things unfold with teams ahead of us. I mean, ultimately, we're in a position where outside of losing to us, we want the Indianapolis Colts to win out. Outside of losing to us, we want the Denver Broncos to go ahead and win out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're in a position where if we lose a game, although I hate to say it because I have some very, very, very obnoxious Dallas Cowboy fans as family, that would be the game that if you said, Danon, we have to lose one of these upcoming games, which one would it be? It would likely be the Dallas Cowboys game. And like to think about it from that perspective, like that's tough to digest as a Chiefs fan. I mean, we've been spoiled in a good way, a very good way, for this stretch of times since 2018, since Patrick took over. But like this is it's really tough to digest. That, I mean, that's kind of where it is right now, and every game matters.
How much do you buy into the discussion that we've had on this show and a lot of people have been having about particularly the Broncos game, but I think it's a season long thing, which is the predictable nature perhaps of the offense, maybe even so much the defense, hearing Chris Jones talk about what the Broncos knew. Was that just, hey, look, the Broncos are paid to look at film as well and come up with schemes as well that they can attack? Or do you truly think that there's too many things that are predictable right now for Kansas City?
I totally disagree with that whole take from Chris Jones. I don't like it on multiple levels. He is definitely open to his opinion. He has garnered enough respect and enough equity to be able to say what he wants. He'll be on the Ring of Honor, likely in the Hall of Fame when his career is up. I just don't like when we're losing games that we won last year. We were 12-0, including the playoffs, in one-score games. We're 0-5 in those same one-score games. Did you say anything last year about teams knowing where we were or what we were doing? No, because it was convenient not to, because we were winning those games. And let's also face it, there is some predictability for every team. Heck, I'm sitting up in the booth with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler on the sideline, and I'm predicting stuff. That doesn't mean that you can't go out and win. When Chris Jones moves from the defensive tackle out to defensive end, don't you know what he's going to do? Do you think he's going to just stand there at the defensive end position and not rush the quarterback? And the only reason that he's really moving out there is because he wants the one-on-one matchup against that offensive tackle, usually the right tackle? Like, that's predictable. So don't like when you're maneuvering in this window and you're maneuvering within this defense or offense, like, don't start talking about predictability just because it's not working for you right now, when predictability has always worked for you. Like, it's not rocket science that when you're looking at 95 in the middle of the defense or on the outside edge, he's doing certain things. So I just don't like when players start coming out because it's not working for them at this time, that now all of a sudden there needs to be some tightening of the screws defensively and we need to disguise better. We didn't need to do that last year when we were winning 12 games.
I think that maybe some of that, though, is, Danan, and like, I don't disagree with the general consensus with that, but there is this, like, Travis Kelce's at a new heights. He thinks that this team would beat last year's team. And like, on paper, right, there's lots of things they do better. They're better in points per game, points allowed per game, points per play, all the other stuff. There's lots of numbers. But at some point, it's results. And so, like, I don't want them to just keep doing the same thing just because it's working better than last year. Because in the biggest area, the like win-loss, it's not working as well. Specifically, late in games, I guess, is maybe where I'm maybe being a little bit more finicky, or coming out of half, where I don't feel like they've been nearly as good. I think that's where I want to see some variance.
Oh, absolutely. I think multiple things can be true at the same time. I do agree with you on that last point, and Mitch Holthus did a great job of highlighting it, I believe, during the pregame or right before kickoff in this last game, specifically regarding the wraparound, the double dipping. I even interviewed Andy Reid, and I'll share that interview on Players Only tonight, about that dynamic and how in the five losses, and don't quote me on this, but I'm almost sure it's true, in the five losses, at least four of those losses, we won the coin toss, and we had the ball inside 2 minutes before half, and we came out to get the ball at the after halftime to open the third quarter. And in either or both of those scenarios, we either were three and out or we threw an interception. And then in the games that we won, I believe we were up to 9 touchdowns, no three and outs. So, like, yes, the game comes down to specific plays and circumstances, and we all dial into, okay, well, what did the offense do with 2 minutes left in the game? And what did the defense do when Trevor Lawrence had to drive the field for a touchdown? Yes, that is all true as well. But if you look at two opportunities, consecutive opportunities to put points on the board, and you come away with zero, and it just so happens that you've lost all of those games, that's telling as well. So it's not always about from the opening kickoff, start fast, finish strong, like we always talk about. It could be about those specific opportunities that have gone by the wayside and you're not capitalizing on it. And they have to figure that part out before you start to figure out the other stuff.
We're talking to Danan Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. I look, Patrick Mahomes certainly has not been as sharp in those big moments. There's no, I think, disputing that, but it's never as simple as just one individual person. What do you think has led to, you know, the one or two plays late in games, like the throw to Breshard Smith, for example? You know, as much as I want them to run the football more, the play was designed, like, Breshard Smith was open. Mahomes just did not get the ball out quick enough to him. What, is it a trust thing? What do you think has changed in the biggest moments this year, perhaps, for Mahomes than a year ago or 2 years ago?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it kind of goes back to a statement you've heard me say. My father told me when I was growing up, some things that make you laugh will make you cry. A lot of things as far as the improv and magic fashion of Patrick Mahomes, they make us cheer. Heck, you hear me on the broadcast giggling in the background when Mitch is making
right,
calls
right.
on some magical plays, because they make you laugh, they're entertaining, but then there's also the opposite side of that. And when you're working off of improv more than timing and scheduling, sometimes you miss a guy. You miss that easy throw that we think is easy. You miss that time throw down the sideline, the deep passes that are missing. That also is a component of how the defense presents itself. If they're recognizing that, and this is not a specific stat, but let's say they're recognizing that Patrick Mahomes only works on schedule on time 12% of the time, where he gets the snap, drops back, plants his right foot, delivers the football, all in one fluid motion. That's on schedule. Let's say he only does that 12% of the time. As a defense, I just need to be on point for 88% of the time. The 88% where he is not working on schedule, and he's improvising. And I think that is correlated to some of the missed throws down the sideline, because you're not used to throwing on time. And you're not planting that back foot and delivering more times than not. And you see other quarterbacks that are definitely less skilled, definitely worse quarterbacks. I think everybody would say, heck, you guys are talking about the MVP race.
Uh-huh.
I don't think any of those quarterbacks would say is better than Patrick Mahomes. But for some reason, on certain throws, especially the timed ones, they're more accurate. I don't know how you can cure that in week 12, but I think that could be a story that, depending on how we rebound and if we make this a magical season, or if it becomes one that we want to sweep under the rug and forget about, I think it's going to tie directly into some of those.
Do you think, oddly enough, the fact that they have so many weapons that fortunately are healthy this year, like it was the dream scenario everybody was hoping for, right? Worthy and Rice and Brown and Kelce, everybody all together. Do you think that has made calling games for Nagy and Andy tougher? I was talking about this with Nate Taylor the other day, that you got so many toys basically to play with that in a weird way, are you overcomplicating it? Are you trying to get everybody involved? Are you trying to get too cute?
I think there could be. I mean, everybody's human, and you want to make everybody happy. I think the bigger picture is guys becoming acclimated or more acclimated to their roles with all of these weapons at our disposal. And what I mean by that is, think about Xavier Worthy. Since he's come into the league, up until, three games ago, he was the number one guy. While he was healthy, he was the number one guy. And as a rookie, and then in your second year, and now all of a sudden, Rashee Rice comes back, and maybe you're not the number one guy. So how do I exist as being that number two target? We see that all across the landscape of the NFL. Heck, right now, you can make an argument that there's only two receivers. T. Higgins is the number one that jumps out to me that has made a career at being okay with being the number two receiver and always being ready as the number two guy. Most other players, you see them pouting on the sideline if they're number two, because they've been number one before. So to ask a young guy like Xavier, that has been the main component of the offense for most of his career up until this point, to now not necessarily be in that zone, that's a tall task. And then Travis Kelce also being existing in that. You know, he hasn't been a part of this kind of arsenal since the Legion of Zoom. And he was still the main guy, one of the main guys besides he and Tyreek Hill. So I think there's an adjustment. It's not just about Matt Nagy and Andy Reid. I think it's about the guys recognizing, hey, I might not be the primary like I'm used to being, but I still got to be primary in my mind and how I run my routes and how I create separation. And I might not get the ball when I run my best route. Like, that happens as a wide receiver. I run the best route possible. I got the guy stumbling. It's like on the NBA court where you cross a guy over and he stumbles and you miss the jump shot. Like, it just might not go in for you at that time, but you got to be able to jump back at the line of scrimmage and say, I'm going to run the best route again next time because it might come to me. And 10 times it might not ever come to me, but the 11th time I still have to be ready. And I feel like that's a component, if you look at the film, where some guys, they don't seem like they are as comfortable in recognizing this circumstance and this situation. I got to be viable as I would be if I was the total number one from the huddle.
Do you think the Chiefs defense is up for the task? They have the number one offense in the NFL coming to town on Sunday. We had said we'd sell out and say, go ahead, Daniel Jones, you beat us. Cool. Life is life, but sure as hell can't be Jonathan Taylor you let dominate you.
Yeah, who would have thought when the schedule came out and thinking about our bye, when it came in and who we were playing after the bye, and then not knowing what the circumstances would be for Shane Steichen and the Indianapolis Colts that we would be in this position and talking about our defense in regards to having their hands full in basically a must-win game. I mean, this is really like the Twilight Zone, I guess you can say. Having said that, I feel like our defense, like, I'd like to see more stout play in the middle of the defense specifically. I think our defensive line has to step up. And I just want to see the big plays from Chris Jones. I don't think that's too much to ask for. I want to see him. Last game, he had two tackles. Last game before that, I believe he had two tackles. Like, I just want to see more. Like, and that's not throwing shade to him. That's just saying, you know what? On every team, there is a premium, you know, Mercedes-Benz, Bentley defensive lineman that makes plays. And he's our guy. He's the minister of the defense. Sack Nation, all of that stuff that we hear about on the commercials. This game, this circumstance, this time, being 5-5, like, that cream needs to rise to the top. So, and, like, there's no more debilitating way to approach a football game, or no way that you can slap a guy in the face more than to be able to run the ball down their throats. And as a defense, you got to be able to combat that out of pride circumstances, not just winning and losing, but just general pride. And I think if you are the leader of this defense, I know Nick Bolton is going to show up in the run game. I know Drew Tranquil is going to show up in the run game. Guess what? If those guys show up a lot, that means Taylor is getting 3 and 4 yards because they're the linebackers. Who's going to be at the front line of defense? You mentioned Mike Pinnell. I want to see those guys. That's why you went and got him back. Derek Nnadi. These guys are unsung heroes, but I want to see them step up in this game. Show me, show the Chiefs fans that you recognize your backs are against the wall by your effort and your energy and stopping a potent run game.
Danan, tonight, 6 o'clock, Players Only is back, right?
Yes, it is. You got me fired up, man. Mm-hmm. Shoot, I thought we were just going to be talking basic stuff here. Now I got to carry this energy to Players Only tonight.
I love it, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game, and have a great show tonight.
Appreciate you, fellas.
There you go. That's Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He does have Players Only tonight, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. And then on Sunday, noon kickoff, Mitch Holthus, Danan Hughes, Josh Klingler right here on your home for the Chiefs in our conference.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.